Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacek.
All right, so if you didn't know this, the Rangers are playing pretty good.
Three-game win streak, Mike!
Woo! That's a win streak right there.
So one of the reasons, not the only reason and not the major reason, but we haven't talked about this guy at all since he's been called up. This was considered 2-3 years ago a major prospect
the guy,
for the Texas Rangers,
right? Wasn't he the guy?
Yes, he was the guy that was going to change the catching position for the Texas Rangers or the first base position, okay? But Sam Huff was called up after Mitch Garver got hurt. And the update on Mitch Garver is this. He is rehabbing right now, but only rehab hitting. He cannot throw a baseball. And I don't know when he's going to be able to throw a baseball. So when he comes back to the Texas Rangers, I don't know if it's next week. I don't know exactly. I think they're hoping for maybe next week, but it will be as a DH only. No catching, no first base.
Wow.
DH only. So there's a good chance Sam Huff stays up for a while, and this is not a short call-up. So, look, in 18 at-bats, a lot of things can change in your next 18 at-bats when you only have 18 at-bats. But in 18 at-bats, Sam Huff has 8 hits. He's batting .444 right now.
Yes!
Now, his OPS is .889. Now,
is that good?
It is, but I will say this. He hasn't really even shown his raw power yet
this year. But isn't that's more encouraging, right? That the OPS is at that despite the lack of power thus far?
Yes. And so I just think that we haven't really talked about young guys in the field for the Texas Rangers. Because as much as Adolis Garcia is a second-year player in the major leagues and somewhat for the Texas Rangers, is he's not young. He's not a guy like, I don't think Adolis Garcia is going to get a 4 or 5 year contract when his contract is up because he's going to be 32 years old by the time he actually hits free agency or 33. So this is our young player in the major leagues right now, Sam Huff, a premium prospect 2-3 years ago. The prospect status has fallen off a little bit, and maybe in a good way, because I've talked to enough people now going and doing pre and post game with the Rangers that part of Martin Perez's problem or issue his first 5 years with the Texas Rangers or so was this. He was trying to live up to the status that he's the guy that's supposed to be the next great Texas Ranger pitcher. And the prospect status kind of took him off focus. And it would get him to go, oh, man, I'm not living up to expectations. Or, man, my expectations are so – it just mentally he talks about this now. They say from people I've talked to, even like a Jared Sandler, he said – he's like this completely different person. Like 3 years later, coming back to the Texas Rangers, it's like you're talking to a different person.
Wow.
And it was just because, not just because, but part of it was living up to you're the next great pitcher. You're the next great player. Like right now, for example, Bobby Witt Jr. is supposed to be the next Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the expectations of, he almost can't win. Does that make sense? Like Bobby Witt Jr. is going to disappoint.
Yeah.
Even if he bats 300 with 30 home runs, that will be a disappointment because Mike Trout hits 40 home runs. Mike Trout bats 325. Mike Trout hits the ball hard, right? So Bobby Witt Jr. could be a Hall of Famer. I think this is part of, I know I'm getting a little bit off topic here. At the end of the day, at the end of his career, Bryce Harper is going to be a consensus, easy first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because he came into the league as you're the next great one, you're the next Mickey Mantle, you're the next whoever you want to compare him to, he was the next greatest player in baseball history. And then at the same time, Mike Trout came into the league and wasn't considered like as big of a prospect, right? He wasn't the consensus number one overall pick at 14 years old, the way Bryce Harper and LeBron James were on the same path.
Right.
Obviously, LeBron came sooner than Bryce in 2003. Bryce was drafted, if I have my years right, 2009 or 2010. So you just sometimes you get these expectations that you can't live up to. And I think it might be good for Sam Huff that we're not like, hey, you're batting second or third and you have to lead our organization to the promised land. It's like, oh, you know what, Sam? You're 24 years old. A lot more development, right? A lot more minor league time. And he is handling the major leagues right now great. It's only 5 games. It's only 18 at-bats. I don't want anybody to get this crossed on. I think he's going to be a 350 hitter, or I think this or that. There's a lot more time for him to succeed or fail or to kind of fall into place. But I think I'm excited about, I think he's going to be on this big league team for a while. I think at least through the month of May. Okay. I don't know.
Which is a good enough time to get like a pretty solid sample.
In fact, I don't know if Mitch Gart, and I don't know this. I'm not coming from any type of education here or anybody saying this. I don't know if Mitch Garver is going to catch the rest of the season. I don't know with his arm situation. Yeah, yeah, if you want his bat in the lineup, do you go, you know what, Mitch, you know what would be best for you and best for your body to try to have you in the lineup is that you're a DH first baseman. Because Nate Lowe, after getting off to a really good start, and Nate Lowe had a huge hit last night in the 7-run, 8th inning. But Nate Lowe, after getting off to that great start, is now, and I say down to, but he's down to 238. Obviously, that's still a little bit above average batting-wise in Major League Baseball.
Redefine.
But he is getting beat a lot by fastballs again. And I think Nate Lowe can get out of it and get better at that. But once again, like, there's some issues that have come up over the last 3 weeks that were his issues at times last year, and I think he can get out of this slump. He obviously got a big hit last night, but I could see where the future of first base for this 2022 team is Nate Lowe and Mitch Garver sharing first base, and then Mitch Garver getting a lot of at-bats at DH, and then you have Huff and Heim sharing the catching situation. And what a great situation, because Jonah Heim is having a great year,
too. Yeah, he's crushing. Yeah.
So he has 4 home runs, 12 RBIs, 277 batting averages is Jonah Heim, and he has an 896 OPS for the year.
If we could step back for just 1 second, I know we've talked about this in the past, but does it fascinate you that it's fastballs that push Nathaniel Lowe down? Because we've heard person after person after person, they have trouble with breaking stuff and off-speed things. And it just feels like it's not that often that you hear it's like, what really takes him down is fastball.
Yeah, I guess in a good sense, in today's game, maybe you get 50% fastballs. Even last night, and I'm sorry, I don't know the reliever's name off the top of my head for the Angels. He was struggling so much with throwing his fastball for a strike. He said, screw it, I'm going to throw breaking balls. Now, there's no way that your scouting report said to finish off Nate Lowe, throw breaking balls in the zone. But he had to, because he got to 3-2, and he didn't trust his fastball to throw it for a strike. So he's like, I'm going to throw a breaking ball.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And the guy didn't have a great breaking ball. At least he didn't last night. So Nathaniel Lowe fouled off, I believe, a 3-2 breaking ball. And then he threw another one that wasn't as sharp, and it was in the zone, and Lowe pulled it, and it was a huge hit in the game. But I guess in today's game, if you're not a good fastball hitter, you're not going to get peppered with fastballs. You're still, every at-bat, going to get multiple sliders or multiple changeups to take advantage of. They're not going to throw like 5 or 6 fastballs in a row and just try to throw at different locations. So that's it. Ronald Guzman had the same issue.
Yes, it's interesting. Actually, I do remember
our power first basemen have had a little bit of issues with the fastball rather than, to your point, most times you hear, hey, good fastball hitter, but struggles with the breaking ball. This is, hey, really good breaking ball hitter, but can struggle with the fastball. So let's move on to our other guy right now. And as great as last night was, I do have to talk a little bit about Marcus Semien. He is so lost at the plate at this point. He's not on balance. He's swinging at pitches 2 feet out of the zone and bouncing at this point. Like, last night was the first night that I said, okay, and I'm going to ask, we're going to have on Chris Woodward on at 1220. I am going to ask Chris Woodward, do you think it would be best to maybe move Marcus Semien down to the bottom part of the lineup to maybe try to take pressure off of him? Or do you just keep batting him second no matter what? Like, I wonder if the best situation for Marcus Semien is one of these two things. And I don't think he'll agree to this. Go on the fake injured list where you take 2 weeks off of Major League Baseball and you just have batting practice. And you work on your swing and you work on your mental, right? Right now, he's mentally beat when he steps into the batter's box.
Yeah.
And I don't know when that changes. And he has a lot of major league success. He's a guy that has in the back of his mind confidence and an ego that says, I can hit 45 home runs in a season. I can bat 300 in the major leagues in a season. But he's batting 157 and really lost at the plate with no home runs this year. So I don't, at this point, I don't know if he's going to get to 20 home runs this year. In fact, I would kind of, if you made me bet, I don't think he's going to get to 20 home runs this season. I think he's going to be in the teens somewhere.
And he had 45 last year?
He had 45. And I think we're looking at more of a 15 to 18 home run season as it is right now. Look, things can change in a hurry. Right now, he's 21 for 134. Okay. So that gives you a 157 batting average. I was doing this last night, doing some math after the game and thinking, what if he gets hot? 20 for 50 would be hot. In your next 50 at-bats, you bat 400. That would get him to a 222 batting average. And that is getting like player of the week, player of the month hot.
Whoa.
You go 50 at-bats and you hit 400, you're now in the conversation. If you did it at the start of a month, you're in the conversation. You are the player of the month in the American League, which he's proven he can do.
Right.
But that's how hot he would have to get his batting average to 222. So when you start looking at it, I think we're going to be at the All-Star break looking at a guy who might be batting under 200 and with a guy who might be, I'd love to see him at 10 home runs at the All-Star break at this point.
Yikes.
And I'm not trying to dog on Marcus Semien. This was not a bad signing. This just looks like he's accumulated 134, not plate appearances because he does have 11 walks. He's accumulated 134 at-bats. At this point, it's tough to quickly change your numbers. I just gave you, if you have 50 at-bats and bat 400 in your next 50 at-bats, you go to 222.
Yeah.
So you're just looking at a guy who I think we're going to have to almost start doing splits on. Well, this is what he did in June.
Yeah, compared right? like, to when he gets, yeah, when
gonna,
he gets hot.
We're going to have to eliminate the first 2 months of this season to try to look at positive numbers for Marcus Semien. And I do believe he can be a positive player this year. But overall, I think we're going to be really disappointed with what he gave you in 2022 overall. But it doesn't mean it was a bad signing. I don't think this means he's a bad player or a bad signing. It just means it looks like it's going to be a really rough year for Marcus Semien overall.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, 877-881-1053. How long has it been since you've been this stoked about something happening in Metroplex Sports? 877-881-1053. Let us know. Tolos, Twolos. We'll do it next right here on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Already all kinds of different opinions on here. Truckwreck.com, text line 877-881-1053. How long has it been since you were this stoked about sports? The Mavericks start the Western Conference Finals tonight. There's a lot of different viable options. I'm going to go ahead and read out a couple, and then we'll get into it. Haven't been this excited since 2014 before the catch was taken away from us, because I had visions of the Super Bowl that year. From the 940, Stars making it to the Stanley Cup. From the 682, it's been since 2011 since I was this pumped. And then this one is interesting to me. From the 469, still not stoked because the Mavs ain't going to win, fellas. But even if you think that, like, I feel like I would still be excited because you're one of the last four teams. Like, I get it. Like, they are decided underdogs in the betting lines and in the national predictions, which we'll get to a little bit later. But I still think you can be excited.
There's no way I can say definitively that the Mavs ain't going to win.
Well, there's
nothing that can prove it to me right now, because
we just beat the best team in the NBA.
Yes.
Yeah, and they quit. Like, oh, come on. They all quit. Devin Booker didn't want the ball anymore. He was like, y'all are going to double team me? I don't know how to do this. Here, you somebody else do it. And, like, they've made stars quit that were like, the season's got to me, I'm done. What, for whatever reason, this Mavericks team has been so good and so, like, stout that other teams are like, I don't want to anymore. What makes you think they can't do that to another opponent? I mean, Jason Kidd is a champion player, and he has this team playing with what Rick Carlisle said, attitude. Like, I really do think more than anything, listening to Devin Harris talk, listen to other people talk, the attitude was really all this team needed, and it's a mentality that Ryan McDonough talked about with us. The grind that Jason Kidd understands, the ability to get through the season. There's nothing that can tell me that the Mavs have no chance to win this series at all, unless you're just going to say, well, the fact that they have Klay and Steph and Draymond and that they know how to win championships and that's the only reason, That's the only excuse I can come up with. Everything else says that the Mavericks can be in this thing to win it.
Yeah. No, I absolutely. And I think that's plenty reason to be stoked about this series in particular. How long since you felt like this?
Oh, man. Jeez. Well, I was mad, or I was exhausted with the Stars 99 Cup, Kevin. Okay?
Okay.
Clearly,
there's been something since
then. No, it was the Mavs 2011. It's been that this long that I've been this excited about what they're potentially doing. Because even with the Cowboys, like, there was just this, Romo's going to mess it up, or Dak's going to mess. Like, I always felt like something was going to go wrong. This feels like as right as anything's felt since 2011. And that was that was a peak of excitement right there too, because it all came through the way that it did. But Kevin, I said that they were going to sweep the Lakers. They swept the Lakers. I said you wanted the Heat for your matchup at the time, and they got the Heat, and they beat the Heat because the Bulls were a worse matchup for that specific team that year. This is me looking at this team going, you have the best player on the court. You have a group of guys that all believe and have all bought into it. And whenever they get into Dallas, Mike knows what that arena sounds like. It sounds like a championship arena again, man. It's been that long since I've felt the reality that a team could actually do this. And I think Mike coming up with the mindset of trying to understand that we have a guy that plays with the mindset of Michael Jordan.
And right. Never not having anything like Michael Jordan, no, by the way. When people say I'm not comparing their games each other.
But he looks at everything in that same way of, okay, this is personal. Now I'm gonna abuse you. Now I'm gonna be plus 55 for the rest of the series.
Right.
You know, like he has that. And Mike, we've never had players like that. Dirk was good for a year like that. But mentally, Dirk still had things that he had to grow through to become that for that one season. Luka's already there. And we're just not used to having a player that's that exceptional. Yeah.
So a little bit of 2016, just, and not the start. Like, I'd given up on Romo. Like, I was like, look, he's going to get hurt and he's not going to come through in the clutch.
Yeah.
But there was this just joy of newness of what Dak Prescott kept accomplishing as that season kept progressing. And you got the number one seed and you got the bye. And I was like, oh my God. And Ezekiel Elliott was the best running back in the NFL as a rookie. So you're like, oh my God, we have the next Emmett Smith, and Dak Prescott looks like he's the real deal. I can't believe this fourth round guy's the real deal, and our defense is playing solid. Like, we're going to do this. So I was pretty excited about that, but I would say 2011, I was more excited. And here's where I was thinking about this as you asked this. Here's why I don't really consider myself much of a Cowboys fan anymore, because there's too many Cowboy fans. There's too many fake Cowboy fans, and there's zillions of them that I'm like, I like being a Mavericks and Rangers fan because it's a small community. It's our community. There's not a whole bunch of Maverick fans outside of Dallas-Fort Worth. I know there are some, but there's not a lot of Texas Ranger fans unless, like, you grew up being a Ranger fan somewhat here in the Metroplex. I love that. I'm not on the LeBron James bandwagon or the Kobe Bryant or the LA Lakers bandwagon.
Right.
Like, I'm not jumping from team to team wherever LeBron goes, or I'm not jumping to, like, he's the best player in the NBA. So, and I get it. Like, that's fun to root that way, because then you're winning a championship 50% of the time during your fandom. But this is why I'm like, I don't know if the Cowboys win at all. The Cowboys won. I don't know. Zillions of people like the Cowboys. I guess I do too. You know, like, I don't know. I guess I've kind of fallen out of love with the Cowboys in multiple ways. And one of them is, like, there's too many, to me, fake Cowboy fans because of how popular they've become without even winning anything. And so I look at the Mavs and I'm like, I'm so excited about this because we weren't relevant. We're never relevant.
Yes.
Like, we have to do this. The only way the Mavericks get covered in the NBA and on all the national channels is if they make it to the Final Four or in the finals.
If there's no other teams to cover.
Right. And so
yeah.
I'm just like, this is my team. Can you believe it? My team's getting covered like we're the Lakers, like we're the Cowboys, like we're the Yankees. Like, now when we get down to it and we're into these conference finals, they have to talk about us 25 to 50% of their show because we're in it, not because we're the Cowboys, because we actually did something relevant to make it. So to me, I'm super excited about this. It's almost like pinching myself. We actually are in the Final Four. There's a little bit of, because we didn't build to it is like, oh my God, like we got here already. Yeah. Like Luka just turned 23 years old and we're here.
Oh no.
And it just feels like, wow, this is amazing.
But aren't you supposed to go through one more step before you get
usually
there? Or is it here is where we got to? Like we're happy. I don't know, man. I'm not happy just to be here anymore. Devin Harris said that earlier and everything.
I disagree with that, but I respect what he's saying.
And I'm totally down, Mike, with the idea that it was a successful season. Whenever this series is done, I will look back and say that. I think I've taken on the I'm greedy from Nico. Like, when he said that the other day, all I can think now is that this team is thinking exactly what I said earlier this morning. Dirk said, I already have a Western Conference Finals trophy. That's great. Good, you know, cool. Throw it in the laundry basket. Let it stay there until we go get what we really want. And I like that's what I feel this team is already thinking. They've already taken that step to how do we go get what we want and staying in the moment. I know it sounds so cliche. It's a reality. Like not getting past where you are, staying exactly where you are for the shots and all those things. Whenever Dinwiddie's like, this is what we're living for, this is what I live for. I know he was taking a shot at Devin Booker, but at the same time, it's still great to hear him say those things. So, yeah, man, I'm totally in on that this team is buying into they are already arrived and already supposed to be where they are.
From the 817, 2011, because you got the Mavs and the Rangers in the World Series, from the 214, since 2011, I'm freaking stoked. I do buy that the Mavericks are the Warriors' kryptonite. Since 2014, that Cowboys team was legit from the 469. Haven't been this excited since 2011. I actually said, for me, it was 2015 after Game 2 of the Rangers-Blue Jays series.
What?
Yeah.
The fight? No, that was game three, right?
So
were we up?
We were up 2-0, okay. And we had won both games in Toronto, and I was like, man, we're about to smoke and sweep these chumps out. And like
they were ahead of time at that moment.
Yes.
Too. Is it also more exciting when you're the underdog doing it rather than you're supposed to do it?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because like in 2015, the Rangers were 500, 100 games into that season. And then they saw, you know, around that time, the trade for Cole Hamels and Jake Diekman and Sam Dyson elevated the team to another level. And it was like, oh my God, like 2011, we were supposed to win it all. And it was going to be awesome. But then that heartbreak happened. And then you're like, oh no, 2014 happened where you're the fourth worst team in baseball. And then you're changing managers. You don't know really much about Jeff Bannister. And then you're like, wait a second. Not only did we just make the playoffs, but we're about to go to the ALCS again? And
yes!
Way to go, Kevin.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't feel...
I don't know if you know what happened there, Kevin, they lost.
You messed it up.
We didn't.
You got all excited for no reason.
I mean, but surely other people were excited at that point, right? When it was when it was 2-0, and so
there was a level of excitement.
Then the catcher threw the ball off of Chu's hand, and Odor scored, and Odor was
going to
be our
superstar. To be excited. Pick a time where we won, Kevin.
But that's the thing, right? Is like
we've only won like twice.
If you don't pick 2011. Then you're going to fail because 2015, you know what happened? 16, 14, like you know what happened all of those years.
Why are you bringing this up, man?
I was just thinking about this.
It's supposed to be a happy segment.
2015.
If you mess up in any round besides the world championship round, Super Bowl, your NBA Finals, your World Series, like we think about that. I hate doing this. Sorry. We think about that Nelson Cruz play a whole bunch, right?
Yeah.
We don't really think about the Elvis inning because it wasn't the World Series.
Yeah. And that was a disaster.
Right, that was way worse. That was three errors in one inning.
Yeah.
And really more than three errors because then there was another error that wasn't committed by Elvis or he wasn't part of it. But, I mean, because it was – the divisional round game 5 and not the World Series game 7 or game 6. It's like, we kind of like, we put that out of our memories a little bit type of deal. But yeah, now that you brought it up, it hurts all over again, Kevin.
Oh, well, that wasn't really what I was hoping.
Great.
Would
I gotta go back to the bathroom and throw up.
This was supposed to be a positive segment because the Mavericks are in the Western Conference Finals. It starts tonight. I think we should all be super excited. I don't know how this went sideways, but I changed my answer to 2011 when we won the NBA championship.
You know, and you know, Kevin, let me go to this too. The next time I'll be this excited, whenever the Cowboys go to training camp, because that is the best time of the year to be a Dallas Cowboys fan, is the beginning of Dallas Cowboys season.
July and August. I will go to my grave that July and August is the greatest time to be a Cowboys fan. No other time but July and August, where we're going to win it all.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, dude, it's a lot. It's hot. Live at that point, man.
I mean, we are jogging at practice better than anybody jogs at practice.
And you know what?
You'll ever
what
watch.
Hell has
and here's
just
the
happened.
Thing. It, if it doesn't happen next year, Kevin, the next time I'll be that excited,
yeah.
the next training camp for the Cowboys. I'm always excited for that.
Okay.
Mavericks, though, they have to earn my respect. And so they've done so this year, but now I want more.
Do you think 20 years from now, Steven is going to be like, listen, I'm not good at fake pumping up this season. Here's just a replay of my dad for the last 40 years saying how great we're going to be.
I hope not.
Let's go Cowboys fans.
But to be fair, I guess I cannot rule that out.
From the from Chandler, thanks, Kevin, drinking now.
What the hell? I was being positive.
From the 940, I'm surprised Kevin didn't say 2006. Jeez,
come
man.
On,
this was
man.
Supposed to be a positive segment. Look what you've done here.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. I don't like a lot of you guys right now. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where we have an intriguing 30 for 30 in the works. And the Deshaun Watson case takes another bizarre turn. We'll talk about it all next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Noon o'clock hour going to be stacked. We'll get your predictions, give away tickets to Pitbull, and there just might be a Coach Balzac on the horizon
and
as
Chris
well.
Chris Woodward.
That's right.
Yeah, they're on a 3-game win streak.
Woo!
Home of the Rangers.
And now,
Woody then Balzac back to back.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my, so amazing.
What? On the show.
It was right.
Absolutely. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Yep. Let's go, Mavs. Let's go, Mavs. Let's go, Mavs.
And we start
buttermilk biscuits
with sometimes, Corey, people don't learn. Does lower tier minor league football work in America?
Never.
Well, guess what?
Haven't
never
watched
won.
1 second of the USXL. LFFL.
Oh, I think you got
MFFL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. ESPN and the XFL have agreed to a 3-year TV contract.
Yes.
Except I'm just kidding. It's a 4-year deal. Except I'm just kidding one more time. It is a 5-year TV contract to broadcast all of their games.
Fully guaranteed.
Oh my God, they would be so dumb to do that.
Mickey Mouse versus Donald Duck. Isn't Disney on this or something?
Yeah, there better be language in there that says, unless your league folds and then you get nothing.
All right, two things here. One, I remember when you told me, but Vince McMahon has invested all this money. And I was like, doesn't matter.
It didn't.
Nobody will invest their time.
You were right.
And nobody listens to me on this for some reason. They're like, you know what? I'll get excited. It's like they want to get excited in spite of me. That's fine. You're going to be wrong. There, it doesn't matter how many years. They can put 20 years on that thing. It's never going to work. The other thing, from the 817. Now I'm concerned. Y'all know how concerned I am about jinxes. No ball sack. Haven't done it all playoffs. Don't curse us. I want to hear the ball sack speech, but true. I don't want to curse the playoffs.
Yeah.
If we do that, who do we blame?
We got the audio. The old fart was asked to go to San Francisco and talk.
I can't wait to hear it. I understand what that person is saying, but I think I want to hear it. Let's go from that to, did you hear about the newest 30 for 30 that ESPN is going to work on? You guys have any guesses?
Tarpley.
That's a good guess.
I wish it was.
What sport? Football?
Well, I mean, it is about football, so you guys could probably take a shot, take a stab at it.
Tom Brady.
OJ.
There Ray Lewis. That one.
The 2000 and 2001 Baltimore Ravens. I don't know how you guessed that.
Because you said stab.
What?
And then yeah. Ray Lewis had blood on his, you know, not jersey because he's wearing clothes.
So I'll let you guys decide which part of this press release I made up. No team in NFL history has boasted, bullied, or brandished as much bravado and been involved in as many murders as the 2000 and 2001 Baltimore Ravens.
They had more than one? Jamal Lewis went to jail, but I don't think it was for that.
Yeah.
Mike, you just...
All of it except for the murder part was actually what it says.
Okay, what did Jamal Lewis go to jail for? Was it tax evasion or something?
It was something ridiculous.
I'm not sure.
I'll look it up.
The rest of the NFL hated the Ravens, but no one could say a thing except in the courtroom. Because they couldn't beat them on the field, especially facing arguably the greatest defense ever. Again, the press release doesn't say they couldn't say a thing except in the courtroom, but that is still a thing that we should not forget. But I am interested in this nonetheless.
Jamal Lewis went after he pleaded guilty to using a cell phone to try and set up a drug deal.
Okay.
Oh, because at first that sounded too far.
He was accused of helping a childhood friend try setting up a deal to buy cocaine in 2000.
Not cool, Jamal Lewis.
Well, it happens.
Hey, speaking of court cases, that's weird.
I mean, millions of people buy and sell cocaine a day.
You're right.
He just got caught.
Is it millions a day? You're probably right.
I mean, when I watch all these shows about all the drugs coming into our country, yeah, then there has to be millions of... I'll say a million, not okay, millions. A million transactions.
God, that is...
of cocaine a day.
Oh, man. That is sad, sad, sad. Let's go from that to other court wheelings and dealings. Sometimes I still don't understand how these things get set up because I'm like, it's a court case. It'll happen when it happens. Is in the Deshaun Watson case, they have hit an impasse about how quickly they can proceed. And then check this out. There is an agreed-upon moratorium to try the case between August 1st and March 1st.
Why?
Because that's football season.
Oh, nice.
That is weird to me. That they're like, well, but he plays football, so we can't do it then. And I would be like, well, no. Mm-hmm. That's not really how any of this works.
Yeah, justice has to be served in a timely fashion.
Yes, but not...
Or not served.
Yeah, or just... We'll just screw around and then eventually we'll get to it. So then the idea is that this case might not happen until before the 2023 season. And I know he's meeting with the NFL right now, but at the same time, are they going to be like, hey, I heard your case is not going to happen for another year. And he's like, that's right. So you should probably just wait.
Just catch my touchdowns.
And then they'll just do nothing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the hell's going to happen with this.
Just let it play out, man.
Okay. Man. It must be sweet to be an attorney in this case.
Let the infallible justice system do its job.
Man, I don't know. I was watching this documentary where this guy was testifying about a murder. He had a giant scar across his face. And he said...
Scarface?
And no, it was not Scarface. And he said that this one guy had committed a murder, but I don't think he really saw it. And...
You say this is a drug documentary?
See, Mike's got it. But how sweet must it be to be an attorney in this case? Hey, we might not do this for another
year. The most
year.
Shocking thing Sounds was great. That he was gay.
Yes, please don't. Hey, just real yeah. quick. Please don't tell me anything else about it because I'm watching it in
Oh,
like,
you've never seen The Wire?
I've never seen The Wire before and I will now stay away.
What's his, I'm sorry, what's in, I forget his name in the show.
Omar.
And then what was his nickname though? Didn't he have a nickname?
I mean, they say a lot of derogatory things about him, none of which are probably suitable for Eric.
Sorry,
pandemic.
Let's go from...
Did you get to... That was shocking, though, wasn't it?
Okay, no, I know he's... I know that he is gay, and people don't care for that in the drug dealing, certain aspects of the drug dealing community. I'm on only on season two. All right, let's go from that to Corey. The Cowboys did sign Jalen Tolbert and Sam Williams, their second and third round picks.
Yes, finally. Tony Tolbert's son.
Oh, hopefully.
Maybe.
Do you know if he is or not?
I see, and that's the thing that I hate, because every part of me was like, that's not right. I feel like we would have heard more about that, but I don't know.
Wouldn't that have been the first thing Jerry would have brought up?
But
we love his dad.
But I never fact-checked it, so I don't want to be like, no, that's wrong, because you saw how that happened the last time I challenged Mike on information that I said he was definitely wrong about. He made a fool out of me.
Yeah, I said Bobby Witt Jr. is Bobby Witt's son. No. I was like, I was like, come on, dude. Like, I got this one.
What?
They have the same name, and he threw a junior on there.
Why would I say that?
Yeah, you're...
Oh. No. Hold on.
Are you about to read information that we're not sure is factually sourced?
Is it Tony Tolbert? Is Tony Tolbert
it's
related?
It's not Tony Tolbert.
Okay.
Oh.
It's not Tony Tolbert. I'll get to more, though.
Tony Tolbert and Dorrance Armstrong. They have the same number.
We told you that... What are you doing? We told you that Monday Night Football would start implementing flex scheduling. They will also have three doubleheaders this year. And then, wanted to get to this. We had this the other day. We've just been so, you know, caught up with the Mavs hype for good reason. We didn't get the opportunity to get to it. The top 10 second-year breakout candidates in the NFL. So, you know, there's some, like, your Gregory Russo's. Zach Wilson is number 7 on the list. Rondale Moore, which I would love, have a bunch of worthless rookie cards of him. J.C. Horn, number 5 on the list. Whitty Pay, 4. Rashad Bateman, 3. That's another player I have all of the worthless rookie cards of. Nick Bolton with the Chiefs, number 2. And number 1 on the list, second-year NFL breakout player, your boy, Mike, Trevor Lawrence, number 1 on the list.
Please, baby, please.
It's time to start making profit.
I was with my son last night at the Ranger game, and I was looking at some cards, and there was a Patrick Mahomes card. I didn't buy, but it was $1,250. He goes, have you ever spent that much money on a card? And I go, usually not, but a few times. And he goes, who was it? And I go, Trevor Lawrence. He goes, you lost a lot of money.
Oh. All
right, so
I said not yet.
is it more about the money for him or about, like, actually seeing this dude turn into what you really think he is going to be? Because for me, I already cashed out of my situation, thanks to you guys. But I still want to see him turn into what I saw him as a college player become. And that's the thing that I'm hoping to pay off there. I know you have a huge investment.
I think when you find somebody that you really like and then invest in, that, I mean, I'm really hoping he does great. Also, I was a big Jacksonville Jaguars fan when they first came into the league, because I'm a lefty sucker. And because Mark Brunell was great, Jimmy Smith was a former Dallas Cowboy. Not that I liked him more than the Cowboys. It was just like, hey, AFC team that nobody really cares about, expansion team. This is really fun. So I kind of hope, since they were pretty much an expansion team last year, that Trevor Lawrence can start taking them to higher levels. I think he has a chance now that they got rid of Urban Meyer, which I didn't think that was a bad hire. I'll be honest, I didn't think it was a bad hire. It was the worst hire in the history of professional sports.
I didn't think it was a bad hire either.
Neither did I. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, the series begins tonight. So what is your Western Conference Finals prediction? 877-881-1053. Let us know. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.